So, brand new year, new things happening, new things in all of our lives, but we do it more at the end of the previous year, but I want you to think through it too now, and I brought it up a little bit last week, but you think through that last year, an entire year, 12 months, 365 days of 66, I think it was a leap year, and you just think through what happened, what God did. The great things that happened in your life. Some of you guys started middle school in 2012. How cool is that? Maybe not so cool, but it is cool. It's so cool. It's hard. It's harder. You grow up and life's harder. There are some awesome things that happened in 2012. And sometimes those stick out for people and you can remember those. But things that probably stick out more are some terrible things that happened in 2012. And all of us probably have those, and all in varying degrees. All of them personal to where we are in life. Some of them may have, man, you failed your first test. Uh-oh. I know it's hard for you people who really love grades. Some of you, it may be way more than that. Maybe you really got in trouble with your parents and you're trying to earn trust back with them. Maybe you got in trouble with the law and you're having to earn trust back with a lot of people. Maybe stuff's happened in your family. Whatever it is, I know that there is tough stuff happening in the world around us or in your life right now, because it happens in mine all the time, and it's hard. And then there's some national things that we look back and some hardship that we as a nation, our country, went through. One of those was back in the summer. A movie came out, The Dark Knight Rises, right? That came out. Great movie. But during a midnight showing, a man came in and opened fire on the theater. And it was horrific. And it was hard. And many people died. Over 70 people were injured, came out of there. And that rocked our nation, especially that city. But it was hard. Something else that happened, even more destruction than that, Hurricane Sandy came and hit the Northeast. This is a picture of New York taxicabs. And that's in a street. And it flooded. And it displaced people out of their homes. It shut down electricity for a long time. People were stranded without food, without water. They couldn't talk to people. They didn't know what to do. And it hit the Northeast hard. And we're still recovering from that. And those are two big things. And something that is even more recent was what happened in Newtown, Connecticut, in Sandy Hook Elementary School. And you've probably heard the news. It still chills me. It still brings me almost to the point of tears to see this woman, whose sister is a teacher, at that elementary. She has no idea what happened. No idea if she's alive. A town in chaos. Parents looking for their kids. This other picture is of children exiting the school, closing their eyes. Teachers saying, don't look. I don't show these pictures. I don't tell these stories to put fear into you. I don't say it to just rouse up stuff. But this is the world we live in. It's hard. And I need to apologize because we had a Sunday after this event. And I didn't even talk about it. And we had fun. And we had a party. And maybe that was necessary. Maybe that was good to have some laughter in the spite of in the midst of tragedy, but we can't forget that these people are hurting. And so I ask you, pray for them and pray for those families. But we can resonate with tragedy somehow, some more than others. But we live in a broken, broken world, where natural disasters are killing people or displacing people, where people are killing each other. And maybe some people in this room, but definitely people all over this country and all over this world are going, God, where are you? Are you here? Are you real? Do you care? Do you love me? Do you love them? How could that happen? God, how could you let that happen? I ask that question. And I'll stand before you honestly and say, I don't know. And that's okay. But I do know that I serve a God. I believe in a God who loves me and loved each and every one of those kids. God is not a God of evil. God is not a God of punishment. God is not here to give us bad days. God is not here to just say, you know what? I'm going to punish you guys for what you're doing. This is not. I don't know what this is, but I serve a God who I know is slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. I don't know why he chose to do this. But I know that I love him because I know he loved me. You want to know why? And we'll talk about it more as this morning goes on. But God sent his son, his one and only son. Can you imagine being a parent of these kids? Can you imagine maybe your brothers and sisters, but a son? And he allowed him to be brutally killed, murdered, whipped, put on a cross because he loved you. He did that. He did not do that to his son, but he allowed it because it was the only way that we could live eternally with him. I don't know why this stuff happens. And it's hard. And what's harder is we see it. We see it in Aurora, Colorado. We see it in Connecticut. We see there is pain and brokenness. And we just finished talking about some Christmas, but we looked a lot at Luke 2. There's another story in Matthew 2. And in Matthew 2, the wise men come to Herod and say, hey, I want to see this Christ, this baby. Herod goes, oh, man, I never heard of this kid. Oh, he's going to be the King of Kings, the King of the Jews. Herod is terrified. And so God knows that Herod is just furious and angry. And he tells Mary and Joseph to flee to Egypt. You know what Herod does? Herod kills all the male babies in Bethlehem. That's in our Bible. Why was that necessary? I don't know. But here's what I do know. That God, in his sovereignty, that had to happen. And Jesus had to escape. And there had to be so much darkness and brokenness and turmoil and death and destruction and just evil in the world because his son came through, shed his blood on the cross. But it didn't stop there. He rose again. I don't know why that evil was allowed by God. But I know that he has a plan, and I know that he loves me. He loves each and every one of those children. And I have to trust that he's at work and he's doing something. And Scripture tells us, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of evil, I want you to turn. I'm going to put the reference on the screen. It's Jeremiah 29:11. You guys got Bibles, you got phones, your neighbors have them. I want you to look it up. Look it up, 29:11, and go there. All throughout Scripture, specifically through Psalms and Proverbs, but everywhere, there is evil in the world. Stuff that cannot be explained, stuff that hurts. And so I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know, maybe you knew somebody in Connecticut. Maybe you have a family member who's sick. Maybe your parents recently went through a divorce. Maybe your parents are divorced, but it still hurts. Maybe you don't know your dad. Maybe you don't know your mom. Maybe you are just really wrestling with sin in your life, and you have no idea how to get rid of it. In the midst of evil, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of a world that is absolutely broken, here's what God says. Jeremiah 29:11. I have a plan for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Well, hold on. All these people are harmed. And then it just says, I have plans to prosper you. I want to prosper you, not harm you. Give you hope and a future. And I think we misinterpret that. I am guilty. Very guilty of misinterpreting this text. and to go and to see, God's trying to prosper me. God's, I'm here, and God is there. I'm still alive. He's going to bless me. We buy into the lie that we are here to be blessed by God, that we are here for God to just shower on us. That's not why we're here. God does say that he has a plan to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. But we are not here to be blessed by God. We are here to glorify God. We are here to give him glory through our worship and through our lives so that in the end, God is glorified, but not just in the end, but today. But so many times I say, hey, God, what are you doing for me? God's done everything for you. His son died, but he rose again to new life so that we can be identified with him, so that one day we will be resurrected with him and have new life with him in heaven. But until that day, we're here, and we live in a broken world amongst broken people, and we are broken people ourselves. We're not here to just be showered by blessing. We're here to glorify God. And even if we don't understand it, even if we have no clue what God's doing, he's at work. And I am so glad that he's God and I'm not. I've got to trust that he's working in my life. And even if it means my pain, even if it means death to me, even if it means death to my family, God is glorified in that. Infinitely glorified. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So many people, there's terrible economy right now. And we talked about it a lot in the election, and people hope that, oh, maybe we'll pull ourselves up, we'll get out of this economy, and you know what, maybe we will, and I hope for that too. And maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's totally fine. But we hope that, okay, you know what, we're in a new year, we're going to get better, I'm going to resolve to do something better. That resolve means I'm going to change something, a resolution. I'm going to make this year better. I call not for a resolution, but for a revolution. A New Year's revolution. And I want to call you guys to that too with me. We don't put our hope in the future. We don't hope that, you know what, 2013's going to be better. We don't put hope in the future. We hope because of the future. Because we know that in the end, God wins. God doesn't promise that today we win. He says, in this world, you will have trouble, but take hope. I have overcome the world. We are called to be not of this world. We're in it, and we're living in it. And we may be suffering just as much as everybody else. That does not mean that God doesn't love us, and it doesn't mean that God doesn't love them. We have hope because of the future, because we will someday be with the King of Kings. And that is a truth to hold on to. That is hope. But as the church, we don't live out that hope. Oftentimes, we say and we proclaim and we believe that Jesus is Lord, that he is God and he's good. But we don't live that out in our lives. And we are adding to as much chaos as everybody else. We don't look any different. That's the reason people don't come to Jesus, is because we are that example of Jesus. And to so many people, they go, why do I want to follow Jesus if that's what Jesus looks like? So what are you doing? Not just a resolution, not just to make a little change, but a revolution. Here's what revolution means. A sudden, radical, complete change. Because of Christ, we are identified as new creations. He is alive in us. And if he is the hope for the future, then Jesus in us is the hope now. And in the midst of a dark, chaotic, evil world, there is hope. And that hope is you. That hope is Jesus in you. That hope is alive now, wherever you are, in spite of what's going on. Jesus calls us to be the church. Not because you're a part of Watermark that's happening. You guys, right here. I can't do that for you. Your small group leaders can't do that for you. Your parents can't do that for you. You are the church. You are that hope, because Jesus is in you, is that hope. It's still hard. I still don't understand why it happens. My uncle, 7.5 years ago. Missionary, great guy. You'd think that he would prosper in our definition of, man, God's going to bless him. He's doing great things. He's given his life to missions. Died in a head-on plane collision 7.5 years ago. And yet it hurts. It's hard. Left a wife, 4 kids. Why did that happen? But because of that, 500 people in Peru came to know Christ. Because they knew him. And they saw the reaction of his family because of that. And as the hope in the world, they lived that out. And these people said, that God's real. Why aren't you giving up everything you have? I said, because Jesus is all I need. I have everything I have. It hurts. My wife's brother died in a motorcycle accident 3.5 years ago. And I see that. I see that pain still in her and her family. Just because we know Jesus doesn't mean that the pain doesn't go away. But the pain someday will go away. That's what we hope in. Because of his death, people all that knew him, they said, who is this guy? He was different. How do I get to know, like, what's going on here? I want to give money to something. How can I give? Her family said, here, we want to give to people who are recovering, who are finding life. Let me tell you about that life. God had a plan in that. Doesn't make that death any easier. Doesn't make whatever the destruction is, whatever the hardship is, any easier. But God has a plan. And we don't put hope in the future. We hope because of the future. One more definition of revolution I thought was really cool. And it's talking about something different, but I think it can apply to us too. The action by a celestial body of going round in an orbit or elliptical course. Celestial body means a planet. Action by a celestial body going round in an orbit or an elliptical course. Those are planets and their revolution of themselves and the revolution of the solar system. But how I read that, because of how I read the scripture, a celestial body, a heavenly being, the body of Christ, heaven, come down to earth, lived out to be the hope of the world. That's you guys. So I'm calling us to a revolution. And I hope you join me. To not just, like Will talked about last week, to hear the word and walk out of here and hope that that's going to change something, but to be doers of the word. Even when evil is everywhere, we are to be the hands and feet of Christ. We are to be the hope lived out. Because Jesus didn't just come so that we could live forever with him. That is so awesome. And someday that perfection is going to be there and we will be with him. And I cannot wait. But if that's it, then why are we here? If I'm a believer and I'm just supposed to be in heaven, then why am I here? It's because that's not the gospel. The good news is that in the midst of a chaotic world, of a dark world, complete darkness, Jesus came to be the light of the world and to redeem us. And we are here to call people to that same truth, to that same hope. But we got to do something about it. So what are you going to do? I'm going to pass out something real quick. I'm not, but I'm going to have leaders pass out, and the band's going to come up here and play real quick. But I'm going to call you to something, and it doesn't have to be huge. But I'm going to ask, what are you going to do this year? Sounds like a resolution, but just something. What are you going to do this year to grow spiritually? What are you going to do this year so that throughout this year and next year, you can be that hope in the midst of chaos? That you can be the hands and feet of Christ so that you're prepared. It's still hard. It doesn't mean that you have to suck it up and say, you know what? It's all going to be good. Because for those 20 families, it's not. Not right now. And the answer to somebody who's hurting is not, hey, Jesus loves you, it's going to be okay. But it's also the answer. And we are called to love. How are they going to know that we are God's disciples based on how we love one another? Love each of us, and love those around us. So you're going to get a piece of paper. You're going to get an envelope. Pens will be coming around too. If you don't finish by the time that we're done in here, I hope that you still do this. Here's what I ask. One thing. I want you to write your address on the envelope. And at the end of this year, we're going to mail it to you. But here's what I want you to write down. How can you challenge yourself this year in spiritual growth? And it's going to be different for every person. Maybe it's you want to pray. Maybe you want to pray more. Maybe like Jason, you want to read your Bible every day. And I hope you do. Shh. Listen up. I hope you see the truth that's in this book. Because this is not just a book that we have and that we go to and it sounds good. This is God's word breathed for us. And it is so applicable today. There is so much truth. Because God has a plan for us. Plans to prosper, not to harm us. To give us hope and a future. So think about it. Maybe you want to reach out to a kid at school. Maybe there's one guy that you're praying for all year long and you hope that he finds the hope that you have. Maybe there is a deep sin struggle. Everyone will get a paper. Everyone's going to get a paper. Maybe you've got a sin struggle in your life and you have no idea how to get rid of it. Here's what I challenge you to do. Write on that piece of paper. I'm going to tell somebody about this and I'm going to seek to find freedom from whatever it is. How I want to grow, what I'm going to write on there is I want discipline in my life. I don't want to just skate through this Christianity idea. I got to do the work. My salvation is paid for. But I got to do the work to grow and grow every day and seek to understand Him more. Maybe you want to memorize Scripture more. Maybe you just need an accountability partner. Maybe you have never truly been known. Man, you need that. Maybe you'll just write down that you're going to pray for something for a year. One thing. Maybe you're going to read an entire book of the Bible all year long and learn that.